You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey.
Hey there.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show, the Friday edition.
Woot woot.
We got a Food Friday. We have Lorena from La Hacienda up on Tangerine and First up in the OV. Shawnee McCluskey will be calling in during the third hour. And then we have our good friend Brad Hahn from Solidarity Healthshare. And we're going to be talking about some of the stuff in relation to telehealth that's going on in relation to people finding out. And couldn't have a better guy calling in today than Brad Hahn from Solidarity Healthshare. Lots of stuff to get to today. We got to do some local politicking. Again, we are not doing 3 hours of Corona. That would just, you know, just slam my head through a wall. What else do we got here today? We're going to talk about the amount of where liquor sales are during all of this.
It's going to be a run at the beer cooler now. Is that what you say?
Yes, sir. We have a great Charles Hurt piece from the Washington Times called "Latest Genius Democrat Plan: Make the Election About Wuhan Virus."
Really?
We'll talk about that. Scott Walker, who of course is the former governor of Wisconsin, who some say him and Doug Ducey look like they're related, very similar, handsome men. This is an article called "Detailed Transition Plan Needed to Get the U.S. Economy and Workforce Back on Track." So there's some really good things that we're going to go through with Scott's plan that I like. We have the Uber-Lyft decision at the Arizona Supreme Court. A great letter from Trump to Charles Schumer about some of their behavior. Martha calls for the head of the World Health Organization to be canned or quit.
Yeah.
I got to get to this Marsha Blackburn about how China should be laying off some of our debt in relation to almost destroying the world. What else do we got here today? So we had Sidney Powell on yesterday from Conviction Machine, the movie. She's defending General Flynn against the Department of Justice right now. And then I see, here's an FBI audit about FBI may have obtained FISA warrants using inaccurate, non-existent supporting documentation. I'm like,
imagine that.
How's that for timely?
Good one.
Nancy Pelosi is just a miserable millionaire.
What's
the word I'm looking for? Of course, hypocritical jackwagon.
She's mean girl.
So we'll talk about that. We have 50, I'm going to give you a list of 57 companies in America that are doing their part to fight this thing and help Americans. We're going to do that because, of course, everyone thinks the government has to solve everything.
Right?
What have we learned? We've learned that the government folks, yes, there's certain things they have to do, but there's not great answers coming from the government folks. Half the time, they got us in this stuff in the first place.
Well, you know, knock, knock, knock. I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
You are correct. So it's kind of like, so what did they learn? So, what, we're going to print more money? So we can do a stimulus, right?
How many trillion more do we have to print next month?
I mean, that's what we've done, right?
I know. Just to keep everybody happy in their homes. Somebody's got to pay something at the end.
So
here,
I want to do the list of these 57 real companies that are doing real work for America. At the same time, a good friend of ours said, you know what should have happened 2 weeks ago and all this was going? I said this story a couple days ago. Trump should have put get the big golf check, right? You know, the big cardboard check.
Yes.
It says $1 billion on it with a B, right? And says the first company to come up with the vaccine for the coronavirus gets $1 billion.
Right.
That would have been a lot cheaper than doing 3.2 trillion in stimulus.
Right. Get to work. Get to work, America.
And they are working their ass off. They are. But how about that for a little outside the box idea? First one to come up to fix this thing, we're going to do it. Governor Ducey had his town hall last night. It was on 10:30 The Voice last night. And then the question came up about barbershops and salons.
Boy, that's a toughie, huh?
So he kind of redefined it again last night.
Oh, did he?
He basically, in relation to how he really wants, he's saying they should be closed. Because that's something he's been getting banged on.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, people are banging on him everywhere. It's like the president. People just bang on it. They have to bang on somebody. Guess
well,
where it goes.
And then you have our own mayor who won't be seen anywhere talking to anybody.
No.
But she loves banging on Doug Ducey.
Yes. Right?
Because that's if you're a Grijalvaite, that's all you can do. Maybe we should just change her last name to Grijalva.
I know.
Rahina Grijalva.
We can do that.
Maybe we'll do that. Actually, we'll do everyone in that group will be now called Grijalva.
So you know who's who.
Rahina and Ruben Grijalva. Ramon Grijalva. Sharon Grijalva.
Mm-hmm.
I know Ekstrom's getting jealous because I'm not using his last name, but you know.
I know.
He's way less relevant than Raul in the party. So.
See, so I'm walking out the door and going, I don't know if I can, I don't know what, I'll be shaggy by May because, you know, the salon called and said, okay, your next appointment is going to be May something or other. So everybody's got the same thing. Go, what am I going to do? Well, we'll live. First of all,
I asked Mrs. D.
That's our least of our worries.
I know there's clippers somewhere in the house.
I said,
baby, get ready to shear the sheep that my head this weekend, possibly. Oil up the clippers. We're shaving Chris's head this weekend.
Little WD-40 on there and take it to the head. Go ahead.
We can do it. I just wear a lot of hats. I'm wearing a lot of hats now, so to cover this, my hair just gets big and bushy. I got that bald guys turn away from the radio. I got that problem that my hair really grows big and bushy if I don't let it go. So if I, you know, don't work on it, as we like to say. So just happens. Sorry. Life. All right. So when we come back, let's talk about my girl, Nancy, I think. Well, let's get her out. Let's get her out of our lives earlier because she's just going to keep turning your stomach. I don't want her too close to Lorena from La Hacienda when she starts talking about great Mexican food. So 790-2040 is the phone number. You remember Bruce Ash used to do those little 30-second,
yes,
This I Believes?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see if we can find someone after this is all over to sponsor the This Is What Pisses Me Off 30 Seconds with Ed Alexander. What do you got for me?
Well, so everybody's staying at home and everybody's FaceTiming and Zooming and all that.
Sure.
So everywhere you go, you've got these really up-close pictures of people's faces. You know, most of the world is not that pretty in the first place, and I'll be the first one, okay? I got a nose that'll keep me far away from the screen, so you wouldn't know it. But
well, that's the good thing about your nose, right? It won't get too close to you.
But, I mean, all you get now is people's faces, and, you know, and they're not a portrait, you know? These, they're ugly. So back off your phone a little bit, okay?
So,
The
missus tackled Trader Joe's in Oral Valley yesterday.
Okay.
And she said it was she didn't get shut out on it, really, anything.
Good.
She wasn't looking for, you know, specifically organic weave toilet paper or something, but all the basic groceries, she was fine. But, you know, the thing about Trader Joe's, of course, a lot of the people that I find the Trader Joe's shopper to be some of the most miserable people I've ever seen. I don't know why. It's a nice little store. It's a little tight, you know. And I get some of these people who are, you know, they'll ram your cart. Usually they're over the age of 60. They don't care. They got to get their organic, you know, peppermint JoJo's or something. But my wife said with the Corona thing, the bonus has been is that they're only letting in so many people at a time. So it wasn't so crowded and people ramming into each other in Trader Joe's.
She said
it was the most pleasant Trader Joe's experience she's had in her life, is that they're not letting that many people in at one time in the Trader
Excellent.
Joe's.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. All these people who are more important than all the other people have got to get their Frosted Flakes, Joe's Flakes or whatever.
Joe's Flakes.
I don't know.
Peppermint JoJo's.
That's a different story. I'll be right back. I got to go to the... I've got a delivery.
Wow.
I'll be right here.
Look at you. So here's the other thing. Hopefully it's ventilators. So good morning. This is a letter we got from a listener. Now, if you missed, and we're going to make it into a YouTube so you can share it. David Schweikert yesterday, we had a heck of an hour. Well, actually 90 minutes of radio between Congressman Schweikert's three great segments explaining the stimulus benefits, right? Then at the same time, we had, what was the other thing I was thinking? Oh, then we had Chad Wolf, the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, talking about border and supply chains. Then we had Sidney Powell talking about not just a Brooke conviction machine, but other things that were going on there. So we got this great letter from a listener yesterday, and it said, you got to get his coffee. You forgot your coffee.
I know.
Your woman's so good to you.
Is she amazing?
She's too good to you.
And the dog. And Stella the dog brought my coffee and my medicine.
Oh, good. Notice the useless cat didn't bring anything. So this is from a listener. Good morning. Just a fast note to thank you for your always enjoyable, entertaining, and informational show. I arrive at work at 5 a.m. and listen every morning. I'm always particularly interested when Congressman Schweikert calls in on Thursdays. Yeah. I've always wondered why he seems to be the only government official who keeps his constituency informed, especially given the fact that he is not a Tucsonan.
Right? Absolutely.
Yet he cares to call in your Tucson-based radio show. Kudos to the congressman. I am especially interested in his call this morning with regard to the relief information for landlords and tenants. As you can see from my signature block, I am a paralegal at a local firm. Our firm works in the real estate industry, and my project of the past several days has been reviewing every lease we have for the force majeure provisions and rent abatement requirements. Congressman Schweikert's information this morning was especially timely, and I've already been on his site and downloaded information which we will be sharing with our landlord and tenant clients alike. What an invaluable resource. Again, thank you for all the hard work by the Wake Up Tucson team. It is much appreciated. And that's from listener Colleen.
Well, thank you, Colleen.
So, I don't want to say where she works.
Okay.
I don't want to get the...
But the Schweiker is for sure.
So...
How many years has he been doing that on Thursday, giving us a call, talking to our people?
At least 8 years. 7-8 years?
Yeah.
And he doesn't miss a beat. Very rarely does he miss his Thursday. I mean, think about it. He calls us from the,
The hall and the cloak closet.
This one is when he called us from the little monorail, the underground monorail thing that they take.
Yeah.
And he literally handed the phone to Mark Meadows from North Carolina. He's like, hey, Mark, this is this guy Chris from Tucson. And we're like, what?
What?
So.
Good stuff.
So.
Thank you, Schweikert. Thank you, Colleen.
Absolutely. Nice. What a very nice. We appreciate it. And David... you know, in the end, what's going to happen with David is he's, you know, originally when he started calling the show, and he always likes to say, am I making a difference with these calls? And he does. But what's going to happen with David, I think, is when Doug Ducey is done being governor, because he is, of course, termed out, this is his second and last, is I think David will run for governor of the state of Arizona. Is what will happen. And his investment in sharing his information and his life with the people of Tucson will pay off politically for him one day when he runs for governor. But he really likes calling the show. And whenever I get to spend time with him in person, when I'm up there or he's down there, I do enjoy our time together. So I think he's a good guy. So
I think so, too.
Now, let's get to... Let's see. Should I do the letter... I guess we can do the letter from Trump to Schumer. Let's start there.
Do that.
First.
Let's get things warmed up here. Get old Ed over the edge. There goes a fever.
Got a fever.
I got a fever. They'll be checking me when I come in because, and when I leave after, that's what they're going to check me.
So this was Schumer sent a letter demanding answers to a series of questions about the Defense Production Act, which Trump has used sparingly during the Wuhan virus crisis. This is from Katie at the town hall. A number of companies, with a few exceptions, have voluntarily stepped up to manufacture necessary medical supplies, such as ventilators and masks. So let's get to Dear Senator Schumer. Thank you for your Democrat... This is in the official letter. Thank you for your Democrat public relations letter and incorrect sound bites, which are wrong in every way. As you are aware, VP Pence is in charge of the task force. By almost all accounts, he's done a spectacular job. Number two, the Defense Production Act has been consistently used by my team and me to purchase billions of dollars worth of equipment, medical supply, ventilators, and other related items. It's been powerful leverage, so powerful that companies generally do whatever we're asking without even a formal notice. They know something is coming and they all need to know. Number three, a quote, senior military officer in charge of purchasing distributing. His name is Rear Admiral John Polowicz. He's working 24 hours a day and highly respected by everyone. If you remember, my team gave you this information, but for public relation purposes, you chose to ignore it. Number four, we've given New York many things, including hospitals, medical centers, medical supplies, record numbers of ventilators, and more. You should have had New York much better prepared than you did. And Dr. Fauci and Dr. Burke said yesterday, New York was very late in its fight against the virus. As you're aware, the federal government is merely a backup for state governments. Ooh, Chuck doesn't believe that. Unfortunately, your state needed far more backup than most others. Rare. If you spent less time on your ridiculous impeachment hoax, which went haplessly on forever and ended up going nowhere, and then he put in parentheses, except increasing my poll numbers, and instead focused on helping the people of New York, then New York wouldn't have been so completely unprepared for the invisible enemy. No wonder AOC and others are thinking about running against you in the primary. If they did, they would likely win. Fortunately, we've been working with your state and city governments, Andy Cuomo and Bill de Blasio, to get the job done. You have been missing in action.
Except
when it comes to the, quote, press.
Right.
While you've stated that you don't like Andrew Cuomo, you ought to start working alongside of him for the good of all New Yorkers. I've known you for many years, but I've never knew how bad of a senator you are for the state of New York until I became president. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to call.
Yeah, call. You know my number.
Or in the alternative, press. You can also call Real Admiral Polowicz. Sincerely yours, Donald Trump. Now that's a letter, baby.
Did he really write that, or is this a joke?
This is a real letter, buddy.
Okay.
April 2nd, 2020.
Good deal. Good deal. A bunch of whining, baby. God, and yeah. We had the Secretary of Homeland Security on yesterday. They're telling us what they're doing. All this stuff that you don't know behind the scenes that they're actually doing to make things work. But the ABC, NBC, CBS, they're never going to tell you.
I know.
They're never going to tell you.
Robert Redfield, the director of the Centers for Disease Control, was scheduled originally for 8:20 today. He has moved to Monday.
Okay.
So we will sit down with him for about 10 minutes.
Look forward to that.
It's amazing. We can get the Homeland Security guy to call up and the director of the CDC, but Rahina can't call Buckmaster?
Nah.
What the hell?
She's busy. She's got things on her plate.
If you got your favorite film score music you like to share with Ed, hit us at Facebook or I'll put it up, and then hit us on wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com or call us using your fingers. Remember, social distancing with your phone, 790-2040. Before we get going again, let's go to the phone, 790-2040, Billy number one. Bill Beard, what's shaking, dude?
Good morning.
What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to call in and let folks know I am officially on the ballot. I went down yesterday to the Pima County Elections Department and filed my petitions. And
you are running for
Pima County Board of Supervisors in District 1.
There you go.
What was the minimum amount that you needed?
239.
And how many did you submit yesterday?
I submitted 1,011, and a good friend of mine went down later in the day and turned in another 14.
Look at
wow.
that. Look at you. Good job, buddy.
Sweet.
Well, thank you. You know, having run for office before, you kind of come into something like this with a little perspective, knowing that there's a whole bunch of people that do things on your behalf as a candidate that, you know, it's truly humbling to know how many people that are out there working to help get somebody on the ballot and then turn around and vote for them. And I've got to say, all the folks that helped gather signatures and the you know, 1,000-plus people that, you know, signed the petitions, they came from all across the district. And I've got to say, the enthusiasm of folks that when I was knocking on their doors or when I was meeting with them in person, it's just astounding to see the number of people that are in this community that really want to continue to have somebody fighting for them, fighting for the priorities that they have. This district has, you know, pays more taxes than the other districts, than, you know, any of the other districts. It has some of the most urgent need for those taxes to actually be spent in the district, like the roads, making sure that we don't have a situation where the third world countries have better road conditions than we do in Pima County. That kind of inequity, that kind of unequal spending priorities from the county need to end, and I want to be the person to represent them moving forward to do just that, put those spending priorities back where they need to be.
Awesome. Well, Bill, congratulations, and welcome to the race.
Yes, sir. I look forward to it.
All right. Have a great weekend. Thanks for all that you do.
You too. Uh-huh. Bye.
Billy Beard running for Pima County District 1. If you want to, in my opinion, if you want to maintain all the good stuff that Allie's done over the years, you got to get a guy like Bill in. He has the best name ID. He just told you he submitted almost 1,100 signatures, and he needed 249. The guy knows how to work. He has a great team, and that's why I threw my support behind Bill early. And that's just where we're at. Again, Vic Williams is he's been disconnected with this community and this party for 10 years, and then he just shows back up saying, look at me, I'm going to run for district supervisor. Again, it's a free country. Have a nice day. And then Steve Spain is definitely, he's an intelligent young man, but he is not ready for prime time. Not ready for prime time. I know Allie likes him, and we have a respectful disagreement on this one, but Steve, too cocky. Just green. No one in the party knows what a Steve Spain is. He was a libertarian until he ran for office. Bill's been there on the line for this party for the last, 8 to 10 years at least? You know, so that's where we're at. So, let's get to my girl, San Fran Nan. So, there's been so many failures of the mainstream media, not just during Woohoo, but, of course, before. Okay? So, this career politician, who is not a leader, this is not a leader. As Bill would say, Bill number two would say, she is an expert at trying to manipulate to control the largest honeypot of money in the world called the United States federal budget. So this is a lady, while America was on its knees. Democrats get a lot of things done when America is on its knees, or a community is on its knees. We call it Obamacare. So this country's on its knees, and her version of a stimulus bill had so many things in it that had nothing to do with helping the actual American who might be suffering from Wu Flu and the effects of Wu Flu on an economy. We went through them infamously last week. Let's have ballot harvesting. Let's do stuff for the unions that have nothing to do with helping the actual people who are working. Bob Clyburn, Majority Whip, Democrat, said this is our chance to restructure America to our vision. While everyone's
down
on their knees.
On your knees.
So,
Democrats,
what's this classy lady going to do now, right now? We're going to have an investigative committee to look into Trump's handling of the coronavirus.
Oh, my gosh. That's all she's got? Instead of helping out? Still get thrown in a helping hand, say, hey, we're behind you 100%, America. Go there and tough it out in your homes with your kids and
what I love
no
is
money.
The blatant "we're only here to kill Trump" thing.
Exactly.
Right. And the press that wants to, I was just talking to a friend of mine this morning, and we hadn't talked since this all started. And, you know, we were just talking about how it's an election year and they still want to get rid of Trump. That's the number one goal for a lot of these media people and the Democrats. And so there's a line here that falls out of Nancy's pie hole that, if you want the ultimate in hypocritical, ironic, I mean, when I saw this morning, I spit my oatmeal up all over my laptop. Okay, here we go. This is Nancy Pelosi, who only cares about dealing out money to buddies and to trade. She's the handout queen. Here we go. Are you ready? This fell out of Nancy's pie hole yesterday on the creation of this, quote, investigative committee into Trump's handling of the current crisis. This is from Nancy Pelosi. Quote, "where there's money, there's frequently mischief," unquote. Get the hell out of here.
Boy, has she learned a lot in all these years.
Remember, this is the genius that said when she got the Speaker of the House back, she said she's gonna drain the swamp. There's no bigger swamp creature than Nancy Pelosi. I mean, that is the worst line ever out of her. There's a lot of bad lines. This is Nancy Pelosi said, "where there's money, there's frequently mischief," unquote. Now, I don't know if you remember that. Maybe Nance has, you know, that's another thing for great career politicians. I want to say great is the short-term memory loss. If you remember the stimulus during the out of the 08 with Barack, right? If you remember, they set up a bipartisan committee that said most of that money was wasted. It did not go to infrastructure. Remember, Barack said there was the bridge in Wisconsin that fell apart, and we got to do that. We haven't fixed anything, nothing. And if I remember, there were nonprofits that were getting stimulus money who were just giving huge bonuses to everyone on the staff and not actually doing anything. So the idea that Nancy Pelosi is maligning, when there's money, there's frequently mischief. Holy blank. 6:43 in the morning. Let's go to break. We got our good friend Brad Hahn from Solidarity Healthshare. I appreciate his comments and viewpoints during what's going on in this world and how places like Solidarity could be a good place for you to help you in relation to delivering health care to you and your family. So. Well, okay, let's go right to it. We got our good friend Brad Hahn, co-founder, CEO of Solidarity HealthShare, a Catholic Christian nonprofit healthcare sharing ministry that offers ethical, affordable alternative to traditional healthcare. Bradley, what the heck's going on with you, buddy?
Good morning, Chris. How are things in Tucson?
Oh, we're ducky. We got a mayor that if she could close everything down here, she'd close it. She would just shut it down for 6 months down here, buddy.
Yeah, well, I thought it was kind of an overreaction on a lot of things. And I talked to a friend of mine who's leading the effort out of the White House. He works at Health and Human Service on the COVID-19 response. And he said their preliminary data, what they were looking at, is if they didn't have some type of shelter in place or, you know, or stay in home or some type of restrictions, you know, to flatten the curve, as Trump was calling it, that they were projecting millions to die from the coronavirus. So they said that's why the White House made the decision to try to have some of these restrictions in place. So I think we're still kind of overreacting in fear a lot of times, you know, but now it looks like it's starting to flatten out a little bit. So we'll be praying for that.
You know, it's like I feel like I understand when that first reaction, right? Right. But it's kind of like, when do we start when we start seeing things flatten out? The tough part's going to be, when do we start saying, well, when do parts of this country come back? Because there's no, as we know with our friends in New York, there is no, we're just going to open up America all on the same day. We can't do that. But there's plenty of places out there that will be out of this sooner than later.
Yeah, I agree. But there's one thing I can assure the listeners to, and you as well, Chris. There's one thing that hasn't changed, and that's the gouging of the American public with medical expenses.
I'm
looking right now at a bill that was posted online this week for now MedStar Georgetown University Hospital. I'm assuming that's back in D.C. Now, mind you, when I got back from Rome, I got COVID-19 tested just to make sure I didn't have the virus, and the test was billed to me at $51. That's what LabCorp charged me. And my good doctor never charged me an office visit because he just, you know, stuck the thing up my nose and said, you know, that's, I can do that with no cost, right?
Right.
Now here's, so $51 I paid for this lab. How much do you think MedStar Georgetown University billed this patient for lab for the COVID-19?
$379.
$4,493.84.
I'm such a rube, aren't I? $379. I mean, he just killed that guy.
So now, if you look at it, so I guess rest assured that our healthcare system isn't changing. But if you look at it, this is really typical what happens. What happens when the government says, hey, we're going to pay for all the COVID-19 testing? What happens to the pricing, right? You know, it goes, I'm scared to see what percentage increase this is from my $51. But I think this is a good time, though, to really start demanding, you know, fair and reasonable pricing in all medical care. You know, if this hit one of our members, Bill, I would just send it straight to the Attorney General's office in that state. You know, just to, because this is gouging. You know, the Department of Justice has warned people about this gouging on toilet paper and such like that. But to me, let's go after the hospital systems under these rulings as well.
They spend a lot of lobbying money, my friend. Let's talk about a thing that you guys have been developing as a part of the benefits of being part of Solidary HealthShare is the telehealth thing, right? Do I really, even before COVID, right? The idea, feeling this, why do I need to go in for the, quote, office visit kind of thing?
Yeah, we've had telehealth for our members, our 10,000 families over the last year, and we've seen about a 221% increase over the last few weeks. And so what's nice about telehealth is you can do it from the safety of your home, you know, and especially now that's what we used to tout, you know, with our families of five kids, you know, don't drag all the kids off to urgent care to see if you got the flu or not. Stay at home and do telehealth and we can get you some medicine prescribed as well. Well, that's what really coming to roost right now is with the COVID-19 is you don't want to be running off to hospitals and such like that unless you have really serious conditions, because that's where the viruses, you know, could be hanging out. And so we're seeing a lot of our members are accessing that. And, you know, and thanks be to God, so far we don't have any of our members with the COVID-19, but we've had a bunch of people that have called in. And with our telehealth program, it's nationwide. So, like, if you're here in Arizona, we had one of our team members or staff call in and they say, well, you got symptoms for this. You need to go get tested. They had the resources available and say, okay, now Banner is doing a drive-through clinic, you know, down the street from your house. So why don't you go get tested there? So our telehealth program is keeping up to speed on where all these testing units are available as well.
So as we know on the post-game analysis of COVID-19, there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to take a lot of hard looks at on how we run this country and various things. And when you got the woo-hoo flu causing this much havoc in America, and then we find out, Brad, you know the number better than I, what percentage of our pharma is coming from the Chinese Communist Party?
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's in the 80 percentile. That's what I've been reading.
Yummy.
I've been seeing it from 60 to 80. But you know, this is what happens though when you succumb to political correctness, right? You know, when you can't, when you start, you know, sending off your jobs offshore, stuff like a crisis like this is going to hit. Especially when you see those 3M masks, you know, yesterday being shipped off to overseas. You know, there's a serious gaps in our laws in how we take care of the United States, how we take care of the rest of the world when it comes to supplies. So I think we were ill-equipped to prepare for something like this. But, you know, thank goodness, you know, Governor Cuomo, how many tens of thousands of ventilators did he find in storage? You know, I mean, you know, where are these storehouses being you know, where are these places and people, why don't people know that they have this equipment already?
I think my favorite story on New York is the one, like, those ventilators that they were supposed to get, I don't know, a couple of years ago, but they just, like, there was 10 times they did not actually pay the bill, so they didn't get them.
Yeah, well, that's kind of surprising because I didn't think the government had to pay their bills to get any kind of stuff like that. So that's maybe have to wake up to our real world here. So
what's the reality of prescription drugs if you are a Solidarity HealthShare member?
What we've been doing is we have a great program for our members where we can usually get the cash pay, best cash pay price in the country on 90% of the drugs out there. But what we are seeing right now where people are really being taken advantage of, just like this Georgetown hospital bill for $4,000 for the COVID-19 test, is we're seeing the same thing in these specialty drugs now. And so we have relationships now where our members can go to specialty pharmacies. And those pharmacies that we have relationships now with, they just charge cost plus 10%. You know, let me give you an example. We had one of our moms on who had a couple kids in there, and she was a single mom, and she had a cancer drug she had to take. And they were trying to bill the member $10,000 a month. And so what we ended up doing is, with our relationship, we were able to get that cost down to $1,000 a month, you know. And then that pharmacist, who we know really well, actually applied for a grant through the pharmaceutical company and was able to get that whole process comped for a year. So this woman, this mom, you know, was able to get some, you know, cancer drugs, you know, basically comped by the pharmaceutical company for an entire year. So that's some of the creative things that we do for our members, is try to find what's the best way to access not only quality health care at the best cost, but also these pharmaceutical problems that we've been seeing. And there are solutions out there. You got to be thinking creatively and try to figure things out like that.
So the other thing, too, I think this is as a timing for people to consider maybe switching off of their traditional blues and things like that and getting into health sharing with Solidarity is, if there's a little bit of pinch in family income because of what's going on that we can't, you know, we're social distancing, and you're still paying $798 a month for your $10,000 deductible at one of the blues, this is probably the time to probably jump into the world of at least seriously consider Solidarity HealthShare.
Yeah, it's a good chance to, but there are some problems with the laws too, right? So like if you're on a plan through your employer, you can only cancel that thing during open enrollment. So some of these plans you cannot get out of, you know, until the open enrollment period is over.
Sure.
But, you know, yeah, and so there's issues like that going on. But if you look at it too, as I always try to give people a heads up, is you know, when you are in a health sharing ministry, since you're considered a cash pay patient, and all of our members, since we don't have a network, you can go to any doctor you want to. And we're getting very proactive now in referring our members to doctors who I call are on the nice list, not the naughty list, you know, going back to Christmas. But if you look at it, they're the ones that are open to fair and just pricing, right? And so we're starting to track these doctors nationwide now in these hospital systems. So starting May 1, our members are going to be able to access their account on the computer to see if the doctor they want to go to is going to either gouge them like this Georgetown hospital was going to do, or they're going to be on the nice list and only charge $51 to get this test assessed. So we're starting to actually rate doctors and hospitals and providers around the country for our members so they don't have to hassle with this egregious billing practices we see.
Well, how do people investigate and sign up for and apply to be part of Solidarity HealthShare's ministry?
Yeah, they can reach us online at solidarityhealthshare.org. That's solidarityhealthshare.org. Or they can call us at 844-313-4999. That's 844-313-4999.
Awesome. Well, Brad, I couldn't think of a better guy to talk to right now than you in relation to what's going on health-wise. So keep doing it. Keep finding out how to cut down those $4,000 COVID-19 tests.
Yes. Thank you, Chris. Have a great day.
Have a good weekend and have a great Easter if I don't talk to you before then. All right, sir?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. That's Brad Hahn, right. Solidarity HealthShare. Wake up, Tucson, 1030 The Voice. Lorena La Hacienda calling in for Food Friday. Wake up.